You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Nice to have you with us. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall ready and raring to go ahead of two good events this week. The season finale on the European Tour, the DP World Tour Championship, and we also have the RSM Classic, which is the final event in the FedEx Cup race for this year anyway, as we move towards Christmas stateside. Still a couple of events to come. The Hero World Challenge, we've got the match between Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau as well, but the last counting event on the PGA Tour season this year, coming to you with William Hill this week. First of all, it's a good morning to Dave Tindall. Good morning to you, Dave.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can. We had the usual technical difficulties as usual, but we have, for some reason, we never change anything, but I come to call you and it just doesn't connect for some reason. I've got no idea why, but we are...
It's good how we laugh our way through it and don't use any expletives at
yeah,
all.
Thankfully I always managed to make sure the studio switched over so it's not actually going out live just before I do the podcast, because if we had the audio from pre-podcast, we'd both be sacked, Dave.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's the risk we take.
It is. Let's talk about last week first of all before we get stuck into this week. Jason Kokrak overcame that ridiculous run on Saturday morning when he shot an outward 9 of 41, still won the Texas Open.
Yeah, it was weird, wasn't it? You just thought, well, that's him gone. And then, actually, on Sunday, I was... I can't remember what time, but I was tuned in, and he wasn't really in the picture, to be honest. He wasn't... He just sort of in a bunch of them that are trailing, and then... I was on the phone for about an hour and a bit, and I turned on and he was three clear. I thought, what's gone on there? And yeah, in one of those ones, in hindsight, he got some really good form in Texas, so it made sense that way, although his latest stats looked a bit iffy. I mean, a few people got him, which was good, but I can't say he was really on my radar. Was he on yours at all?
No, you could see it with the... It's one of those situations where if you ignore current form and... go with a course fit, he would have definitely been on your mind, wouldn't he, at the prices, especially given he was around about 50 to 1, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So it's a big price in hindsight, but on recent form, you couldn't have given much of a chance. And he actually said after the event that he was thinking about withdrawing on Tuesday because he was hitting the ball that badly in practice.
Yeah, I mean, those two Vegas events, he'd missed the cut and finished tied 54th. But... only about 10 starts before he'd won the Charles Schwab Challenge in Texas. So if you had taken the Texas angle, you would have been sitting pretty.
Absolutely. And it was less challenging in the Dubai Championship. JB Hansen was very well tipped. And he was one of those rare everyone's on Twitter winners. And he went in scoring from Francesco Laporta, who's a player that's been on my radar recently. And he impressed with the way he went around about things, just fell slightly short, and JB Hansen back in the winner's circle.
Yeah, well played to JB Hansen back, because I think if you'd backed him, you were kind of pleased that the men chasing him were Laporta and Rosner, rather than the clattering hooves of John Rahm or Rory McIlroy or somebody, because although he kind of stayed where he was, JB Hansen, there was scope to come past him. And his second to the last suggested he just wanted to get in and done, because I think he was feeling it, wasn't he? So yeah, but well played to those who backed him. Again, he's one you could have backed, really.
Yeah, definitely.
If you were on Laporta as well, to be fair. So yeah, last week two. Fairly big price winners. What was he, 66 and 50s, that sort of price for JB Hansen? So two big-ish price winners that were well found.
Let's talk about this week then. We've got the DP World Tour Championship here at William Hill. We are top price guaranteed on the top 10, plus we are paying 7 places each way as well. So a nice concession on the season-ending finale. And Rory McIlroy tops the betting at 6-1 here with William Hill. Colin Morikawa is 17-2. Abraham Anser is 16-1. Matthew Fitzpatrick is 16-1. Sergio Garcia is 18s. Tommy Fleetwood, 18-1. Tyrrell Hatton is 22s. Bernd Wiesberger, 22-1. Paul Casey, 22-1. 25-1 and bigger. The remainder. I suppose we've got to start by addressing the elephant in the room. No John Rahm, no Victor Hovland. And Patrick Reed and Sergio Garcia have been given special exemptions to take part through, well, some sort of loophole, Dave. It is particularly frustrating that Rahm's not in the event, given he sits third in the rankings behind Colin Morikawa and Billy Horschel. That pair are both looking to become the first Americans to win the race to Dubai. Obviously, only one of them can do that. But Morikawa heads the race to Dubai rankings. What do you make of it all, Dave? Because it is frustrating there's no Rahm or Hovland, given they are, well, two of the best three Europeans on the planet, pretty much.
Yeah, and then you've got Will Zalatoris playing, who's possibly got an invite so they could do an A to Z of what to look out for, because I can't think why else he's in the field. He's hardly played, has he? So, yeah, shame for... I mean, they've all got their own individual circumstances, but it takes the edge off it a little bit, doesn't it? I found out this morning, I was sort of scrambling around to see who could actually win the race to Dubai. It is the top, any of the top seven, apart from Rahm, because he's not there. So in theory, Hatton, Minwoo Lee, Mats Fitzpatrick and Paul Casey could all come past.
Yeah. I mean,
it isn't ludicrous. It's not like Morikawa has to finish last or anything like that. The stipulation for Casey to win would be Casey wins the tournament. Then he's got to have Morikawa finish worse than the two-way tie for 12th.
Okay.
Yeah, not ridiculous. And Horschel to finish worse than the two-way tie for 5th. So if Casey wins, it just takes the two Americans to be a little bit off, and suddenly he's European number one.
It's a strange situation with Reed and Garcia, because neither those two players are eligible for the race to Dubai points or any bonuses. And it's clear the goalposts have been moved slightly to accommodate that pair, who failed to fulfil the minimum requirements of playing 4 European Tour events away from the majors and the WGCs to qualify here. It's just a case of, I think, Keith Pelly and the team getting the best possible field for this event, isn't it?
Yeah, and obviously on the back of last week's announcement that the European Tour will now be called the DP World Tour, who are the sponsors this week, you kind of want a bit of glitz and glamour where you can get it. So I guess that's why they've been invited.
Mm. It's a Greg Norman design. The Earth Course is once again hosting this tournament. It's long, but not overly difficult, with pretty large greens. And we've had 4 repeat winners here. You've mentioned one of them, Matt Fitzpatrick. He won for the second time when beating Lee Westwood by a shot last year. And the other repeat winners have been John Rahm, Rory McIlroy and Henrik Stenson. So all elite players, and McIlroy pretty much always plays well here. He's clearly, in my opinion, a worthy market leader this week, Dave. And I always think long driving is a real plus around this layout. Obviously, there are exceptions like Fitzpatrick. He's shown he can contend on longer courses, and his putter is such a significant strength. He can kind of overcome his length disadvantage on the Earth course, Dave. But I always think, like, long driving here and good putting is a recipe for success.
Yeah, I guess so. That would work. But as you say, Fitzpatrick does kind of fly in the face of that. I guess Henrik Stenson would have 3-wooded his way around here as well when he won back-to-back. So there are more than one ways to skin a cat. But it's very fair to see Rory as the market leader, I think, given what he does on this course and other desert courses.
Yeah, I think he's one of those that it's kind of difficult to leave out of the staking plan, isn't it, to a certain extent, Dave? I have overlooked him. I've got one selection for the event, but looking at someone each way. But you tend to find in this season finale that the cream does rise to the top. I wouldn't be going overboard with each way selections at big prices personally this week.
Yeah, you've sort of set me up then for my first bet by saying the cream rises to the top.
Okay.
Do you want me to go in?
Yes, please.
Yeah, it's not actually an outright bet. It's a special. It's an enhanced odds special here at William Hill. We have Rory McIlroy and Colin Morikawa both to finish in the top five. That includes ties. It's been enhanced from 5-1 to 6-1, which is the same price as Rory winning the tournament. Now, my argument for this would be, you can almost pencil Rory in for a top five. He's played here 10 times, finished top five in seven of them.
Yep.
I mean, and then you think of all these other, you know, top twos, threes in the Dubai Desert Classic. He's just won the CJ Cup in the desert in Nevada. He just loves desert golf, doesn't he? So win on his last start, an exemplary course record. I just feel if you back him outright, someone, and it might just be one, might just pick him off. But this is a way where you're kind of cashing in on the fact that he so often finishes in the top five but doesn't necessarily win. So that's kind of Rory's part of the deal done. So Colin Morikawa, what does he bring to the table apart from being absolutely brilliant? Well, he's got the form as well, second in the CJ Cup, seventh in the Zozo. He lives in Las Vegas, so he's pretty familiar with desert surroundings. And you've also got the comfort blanket that he played here last year and was 10th. And that's quite handy because if you're arguing against it, you'd say, well, he's not played on this course before and we don't really know how he'll take to it. Well, 10th last year was a first look, was pretty good. And you know, given since then, he's become an Open champion. He's won another WGC. He's got that chance to win, to be the first American winner of the race to Dubai. And sometimes people carry that pressure and it diminishes them a little bit. With him, you just feel he'll get the Colin Morikawa game face on and think, yep, I'll have a bit of that, and he'll be absolutely focused.
Very good. I quite like that bet. 6-1 for McIlroy and Morikawa both to finish in the top five, and importantly, includes ties as well, yeah. which is really good news. So that's a 6-1 shot from 5-1. Is that your only bet in the event, or have you got anything else? I've got one selection.
Yeah, I've got one selection, but if you want to go first.
Yeah, I will. I'll take the guy that I tipped in Portugal a couple of weeks ago. I like, at a nice price, Adrian Aus again this week, who I think is a decent each-way bet at 60-1. Just missed out on the place in Portugal, predictably. I finished in a tie for 8th, and I think this is a good opportunity for him to finish this season really strongly. Announced as the perfect game for desert golf, as he showed in this last year, had a chance to win going into the final round, eventually faded into a tie for 10th. He's a long driver, very good putter, which has historically, I think, been an angle to success at the Earth course, and he's a resident in Dubai as well, and he followed that tie for 10th in this event last year with a tie for 12th in Abu Dhabi, and a tie for 9th in the Dubai Desert Classic. He was also tied 3rd in the Dubai Desert Classic at the start of 2020 as well. So strong desert form. And his last professional win actually came in the UAE at the season-ending Ras Al Khaimah Challenge Tour Grand Final in 2018. So this is a part of the world which clearly suits his game. And he should play well. And I'm hopeful he'll contend this week. And I thought each way at 60-1, given we are paying 7 places in a limited field, was a fair price this week, Dave.
Yeah, that is a good bet. I did notice him amongst, he kind of came into focus a little bit more than some of those around that price. So, yeah, I like that bet.
Your selection?
Yeah, if I'm back to this A to Z theme, if I was doing that, I should pick Zalatoris. Although, actually, if you're absolutely starting at A, Abraham Ancer beats him in an alphabetical list.
Of course he does, yeah.
Adrian Aus, just. Anyway, that's slightly going off the point, or completely going off the point. I will go down, though, to the bottom end of the alphabet and pick Bernd Wiesberger.
Yeah, I was very close to selecting Wiesberger at 22s, I must admit.
Yeah, I think he'll be quite popular this week.
Yeah.
You're almost looking at that list of past winners, and virtually everyone is a Ryder Cup player. And Bernd Wiesberger now has that status. I mean, it didn't go too well for him, but I think just being there and being part of the team has made him, you know, just feel very kind of, I'm now on another level. And since then, it's like it has rubbed off on him because he's finished 12th in the Open de España, 11th at the Andalusia Masters. I threw in a actual lisp then, deliberately, just to sound authentically Spanish.
Love it.
and the listeners could pick that up, but I've highlighted it. And he was runner-up in the Dubai Championship last week, and he's hitting the ball magnificently. I mean, hit 91.7% of greens last week, first in greens in reg at Andalusia as well. And then he's got a really solid form in the UAE, hasn't he? Lots of good performances in Dubai, Abu Dhabi especially. At this course, it's not a stream of good results, but he's got a fourth in there. And I just think he can kick on and really get in amongst it now. I think he's back to those levels where, you know, he was winning a lot. And he is a guy who knows how to win. He's got two Rolex Series events in the bag already. I did notice as well, he won the second of those, the Scottish Open, the week after he'd finished runner-up the week before in Ireland. Mm. So sometimes you look at patterns of play and you think, oh, does he telegraph the win or does he come out of nowhere? Well, Wiesberger has won after finishing second the week before, and that's hopefully what he's going to do this week as well. So I think he's a good each way, but I still think he's, just because he's a bit of a kind of meek and mild character, he maybe is a couple of points bigger than a younger buck would have been. So yeah, 22-1, I'll take that.
Yeah, I do like that, Wiesberger at 22-1. Who else was on your mind this week? There's only one other name I've got noted down. I had three names written down. Obviously, one of them was the pick, Adrian Ausburn. Wiesberger was another, and Laurie Cantor was the other one at 50-1. Having finished fourth in the Andalusia Masters, then fifth in the Mallorca Golf Open before missing the cut in Portugal. And you look back when he had a chance to win this event last year and eventually finished tied fifth, didn't disgrace himself with that final round of 71, went on to finish tied fourth in the Dubai Desert Classic. So some solid form in the desert. And I just thought he might well bounce back this week. And he was just on the edge for me at 50-1.
Yeah, that's another of the each ways that I was half eyeing.
Yeah,
back at the top end, I think Tommy Fleetwood will have a good week, but it's just I've got this sort of mental image of him just sort of sliding putts past on the final day.
Yeah, I just think
stalling a bit.
I just think right now, Wiesberger's a better player than Fleetwood, isn't he?
Yeah, and Wiesberger's done a lot more winning in the last few years, to be honest.
Yeah, and he's 4 points bigger in the market as well.
Yeah,
I just think it's Fleetwood's coming back into form, isn't he? Returning to a little bit of form. I just think Wiesberger's a better bet at the prices, given his overall profile and the fact that he's in the form of his life right now.
Yeah, you've said it all there, really. I mean, Fleetwood's got the desert pedigree. He was runner up in this 2019, 10th last year. Twice a winner in Abu Dhabi, but it's over 2 years since he's won now, exactly 2 years, I think.
Minwoo Lee's interesting, isn't he? Because he's a player that's not going anywhere, I don't think.
In a good way,
yeah. I just think he's going to contend for big events, isn't he, in the next couple of years?
Yeah, I think so. And he was obviously up there last week, just couldn't sort of get going when he really needed to press the accelerator, but... Yeah, just a bit short, possibly.
Yeah,
I think
compared to Wiesberger and Hatton, who's Hatton was more interesting to me than Fleetwood this week, personally.
Yeah, I mean, looking at if you're going on Race to Dubai order, you'd think Horschel at 28s is a bit big, and you'd also think on what he's done in the game, Patrick Reed is big at both 28s. Should they be bigger than Minwoo Lee?
Perhaps
Discuss.
Not. Mm. It doesn't strike me as the perfect venue for Billy Horschel this week, personally.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's certainly the venue for Patrick Reed, though. He's played brilliant golf here, hasn't he? He's got a second and a third. A couple of other top tens.
You're taking his play on trust a little bit. It's been very much in and out, hasn't it? Apart from that performance in the Bermuda Championship where you tipped him. It's been a little bit famine rather than feast for him, hasn't it?
Yeah, I did look last year when he finished third. He was coming in off a 10th at the Masters and loads of other consistent form. And this time he's, well, last two starts, 61st and 56th.
Yeah.
So you'd have to be a sort of dedicated Patrick Reed fan, I think, maybe to have a bet.
Anything else before we move on?
No, I think that's it.
Yep, RSM Classic then this week on the PGA Tour. Scotty Scheffler is the favourite at 12-1. Webb Simpson is 14-1. Cameron Smith is 16. Louis Oosthuizen 22-1. Corey Connors 25s. Russell Henley is 25s. Harris English 28s. And 33-1 and bigger the rest. It is the final event of the year on the PGA Tour. We close in Sea Island with that RSM Classic. Sea Island is the host, and we have the Seaside course and the Plantation course in operation this week. And using those two courses means we get the full field of 156 golfers in action. And the Plantation course has been part of the rotation since 2015. The Seaside course is the sole host once the cut is made on Saturday and Sunday. And they're focusing firstly on the Seaside course, Dave. It's a Harry Colt design that was renovated by Tom Fazio at the turn of the century. Short course, measures just about 7,000 yards, plays to a par of 70. Water is in play on a number of the holes, so accuracy this week maybe outweighs distance, and the wind is the main defence of both these courses to a certain extent. And the Plantation course was historically the easier of the two, but that seemed to change somewhat following Davis Love's renovation of that property in 2019. And even though that's a similar yardage and plays to a par of 72, it was tougher than the Seaside course last year. And the changes that were made in 2019 made the greens tougher to find, and they might have settled in by now. But I always think the weather forecast is really important, because the wind plays a significant role in things, Dave. And it looks like getting on the Seaside, which is more exposed on the Thursday, is going to be an advantage. That's my reading of the situation, but we are recording this early on Tuesday morning, so that could all change.
Yeah, we don't know the tee times as well, so it's a bit tricky to angle it on that. But yeah, certainly worth looking at the forecast if you're waiting on that and looking at the draw. You know, you might want to wait till late in the day before getting your bets on.
I think so. I think that could be wise, and we'll see how things change in the lead up. Key criteria this week, Dave: wedge play and putting. Putting on Bermuda grass surfaces in particular is going to be really important, but you're looking at short iron play and setting up plenty of birdie opportunities for me.
Yeah, and I do like the those sort of links with all those other courses that are in a similar bracket.
Spin through a couple of those, Dave, just for those listening for the first time.
Yeah, so you'd have maybe Royal Port, was it the Bermuda Championship, Waiali, the Sony Open, Harbour Town, the Heritage, Corrales Golf Club, the Corrales Punta Cana, El Chameleon, Mayakoba. There's also, because we're kind of Bermuda on a par 70, that's going to be windy, the Honda Classic can offer some good links as well. So quite a few similar tracks where the same band of players seem to perform well.
Yeah, very good. I was looking at those sort of courses as well. You've named them all really there. I've got actually a couple of selections this week. How many have you got?
Yeah, I've got two.
Shall I lead off?
Yes.
I'm going to Russell Henley as my first selection at 25-1. Ben Coley's headlined him just before we came on air, so obviously the price has contracted pretty significantly, but he was the one that was looking at yesterday, and he was the one that stood out, so I'm sticking with him. And it will depend on the putter with Henley, as it so often does, but he's significantly better on Bermuda than any other surface, and he's got some standout form at this course as well. His game is built on strong iron play, and he has very strong form when the wind blows. He got into contention last week when finishing seventh in Houston, and significantly, despite missing some short putts last week, he actually was a little bit better on the greens than he has been recently. He seems to have found something with the putter. Fourth, sixth and tenth here in 2014, 2015 and 2016. Won the Sony Open, one of those correlating venues at Waialae in his rookie year in 2013. Similar feel to this course. And I just think he's got a top chance this week. And 25-1 each way. I'll play Russell Henley as my first selection, Dave.
Yeah, I had a bet on him last week in Houston, and it looked like he was coming to win his race, and then his putter went a bit wrong.
Yeah, he three-putted on that par three, didn't he, when he'd hit it. He'd hit it close, and you're thinking, I think he was almost favourite at that point, Dave, in the round, and that three-putt killed him.
Yeah, I think so. So he's kind of on the naughty step for me at the minute, but good luck with you for him.
Yeah.
I'm sure that that was a sentence that didn't quite come out.
It was almost there. Yeah, I think you had all the words
that's it.
Your first selection?
Yeah, a couple of prices I really like here. Big prices as well. First one, Denny McCarthy.
Okay.
At 90-1. He's got that correlation course form thing going on. So you've got third in this year's Honda Classic, which was really good. Fourth in a 2020 Bermuda Championship. He's also got fourth at the Corrales Punta Cana. In this event, he's got a tie for eighth a few years ago as well. He's from Maryland, lives in Florida. He's one of those players who admits to liking playing in the wind, and he likes playing on Bermuda grass, and the stats back it up. It's not just a like, he does play well statistically on Bermuda. And then he's been hitting it well lately as well, actually. So finished second and sixth for greens in regulation in two of his last three starts, which is good. And I just think he's coming into some decent form, Denny McCarthy. I was surprised at his price, to be honest. I thought he might be one of these that a few people were on, and it'd be a bit, I don't know, 66-1 or something like that for Denny McCarthy. But if you look at his latest form, it's very progressive. So after a miscut at the Shriners, which he didn't do a lot wrong, 68-70, was 39th in Bermuda, 15th at Mayakoba, and then 11th last week, where he finished with a 64, scrambled well there too. So I just thought quite a lot of form on correlating courses is good, and 90-1 was a standout price. I like that.
You won't have to worry about the putter with him, will you, either, McCarthy, whereas I will with Russell Henry this week. Complete contrast in terms of style. So Denny McCarthy, your number one pick at 90-1. My second selection, slightly shorter in the market, I'm going to go with Chris Kirk at 60-1 this week. I think he's always worthy of consideration on a track like this one, and just enough interest at 60s. Not missed a cut, actually, since the 3M Open, but hasn't had many outstanding finishes. Comes to this venue with maximum comfort levels. He's a Georgia Bulldog, you'll hear that term, on numerous occasions when reading previews of this event this week. And he does excel in these type of events. Second in the Sony Open at the start of the year, seventh at Harbortown, which is another one of the courses that you mentioned, which correlates well with this one. And he's got good form here. A win and two fourth place finishes in this event in the last decade. And I thought there was enough juice in the price at 60-1 for Chris Kirk as my second and final selection in this event, Dave.
Yeah, he was on my long list, so I'm glad you've got him in there. I'm going to go way down to, I was really pleased with this price, 150-1 on Cramer Hickok.
Oh, okay. Contended last week?
He did. So in the last 4 or 5 months, he was runner-up at the Travellers Championship, where he lost a playoff to Harris English. No kind of disgrace in that. Very, very good week for him. And then he was fourth in Houston last week. Jordan Spieth's big mate, wasn't he, at Texas University, and obviously a Texas background. He'll be very used to Bermuda greens. I think he's the big price because you look at his course form and initially it just looks a bit naff. Miscut and 53rd, but in the miscut in 2018, he did shoot a 66 in one of the two rounds, which is fine. Then in 2019, he didn't play it last year. He shot 68, 67 in the middle 2 days, which was a decent effort. So you probably need a bit more to get him on board, but I think you can find the bit more when you start looking at these correlating courses, because he's got a 10th at the Corrales Punta Cana and a 21st as well in his two efforts there. Made the top 20 in the Sony Open this year, which is good. He's got pretty decent form at PGA National, the Honda Classic, 21st and 30th, you know, given the fact that they are normally good fields. So, yeah, it's just got bits here and there. I did read a quote from him last week as well, that in Houston when he was fourth, he just said his short game was great. So hopefully the scoring clubs are working for him nicely as well. He said he worked with his coach, Cameron McCormick. He got an extra session in there with him, and that had immediately paid off. So I think 150-1, normally 150-1, you can probably make less case. You know, you can't make as strong a case as that. You normally sort of glossing over stuff, but that here would be the course form. I think if you look at it a little bit closer, it's not as bad as you think. So I think in theory, this is a course where he could do well. So hopefully with that confidence from last week, I think he is, yeah, he was a standout player at college. He's obviously been slow to come to the boil, but he's still in his 20s.
Yeah.
So maybe we're starting to see the best of him now. So hopefully he can do something this week.
Very good. Kramer Hickok at 150-1, Dave's second selection here. Any others you want to mention towards the top of the betting, or who else came closest? Scotty Scheffler missed an ideal opportunity last week. He had that tournament in the palm of his hand, didn't he, Scheffler? But he finished fifth here, didn't he, a couple of years ago, Scheffler. And even though you wouldn't think it's as suitable as last week's venue, he's obviously in pretty decent order.
Yeah, I mean, he can play well anywhere, can't he? But I don't know, it just seems a more natural thing with him to back him at a bigger price when all the big guns are in town.
Yeah.
When he's the big gun, it doesn't quite work, does it?
And on the opposite side of the coin, you'd say back Webb Simpson in an event like this at a shorter price, where we know he excels on short courses with Bermuda grass greens, rather than getting him at a bigger price in a bigger event, I guess.
Yeah, Webb Simpson has won, gone off at short prices and won, hasn't he? I remember his first win Carolina. So, yeah, he could do that. Patrick Rogers is another one for me. He has got this kind of good, bad form going on at the minute. He was, what's he been? Sixth miscut, fourth miscut. The fourth was at Port Royal, another one of the correlating courses. And then he's a runner up here as well in the past. So he's another good bet at 80-1, I think, Patrick Rogers.
Yeah, I liked Brendan Todd quite a lot.
At 60 to 1. Yeah.
I mean, he was 11th at the Mayakoba. This is a better venue for better venue for him, I think. Fourth at the RSM in 2019. He's got a mixed bag of performances here in terms of his approach play as well. But the one thing he always does well at this venue is he puts well on these Bermuda grass greens. And you've just seen glimpses recently from Brendan Todd. And I thought he was definitely worthy of consideration at 60s.
Yeah, there's a few on that level. I mean, we've picked some of them that are bigger than I would have thought. I think the market's been done a favour by Scheffler, Simpson, Cameron Smith and Louis Oosthuizen playing this week.
Yeah.
And you could take all of those on. So I think, I mean, it has produced some kooky winners, hasn't it, this event? So I think it's fair to look beyond the top 10, 12, 15 in the betting.
Definitely, definitely. Shall we wrap up then, Dave?
Yep.
Let's recap the selections then. Dave, your picks first in Europe?
Yeah, so there's that special that Rory and Morikawa both finish in the top five, including ties. That's been enhanced to 6-1, so I'm going to have 2 points on that at 6-1. And then in the normal outright market, I'll have a point each way on Bernd Wiesberg at 22s.
I'm going to have a point each way on Adrian Aus in the DP World Tour Championship at 60-1. And in America, Dev?
Yeah, I'll have half a point each way on both Denny McCarthy at 90-1 and Kramer Hickok at 150-1.
I'll play a point each way on Russell Henley at 25-1 and a point each way on Chris Kirk at 60-1 this week. Thank you for your company, Dave.
Yeah, cheers, Dave. What are we doing next week?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I was going to say, is it the European Tour? No, it isn't. It's the DP World Tour.
It is, yeah. It is. It's a completely new tour for us to have a look at.
Yeah. I think it's in the three straight weeks in South Africa, I think, from next week.
Mm. You can follow us on Twitter, remember, as well, at Dave Tindall Golf and at D Kellner. Do check out all the golf betting at williamhill.com and on the app. Really nice concession on the DP World Tour Championship this week. We're top price guaranteed on the top 10, plus we are paying 7 places each way as well. Thank you for tuning into the Golf Podcast. I do hope you've enjoyed it, folks, and myself and Dave, we will be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.